Motor City Static here for Sunday, January 14th.
Episode number 2, 2018.
That's right. Just a couple days under the halfway point of January, and it can't get out of here quick enough. I've had enough.
Well, we've had February weather in December.
Right.
And now we got some more February weather in January. Can't wait to see what February brings. Oh,
so I tool around town in a 2010 Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
Metallic black.
Sporty.
It's very sporty. It's got sport package on it. And I've had it as a used car. Oops, sorry. A previously owned vehicle. I've had it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed it during this winter. For the Christmas break, I went up to Oscoda, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 8 below. And the seat warming feature of that car is a godsend.
Yeah.
Love it. However, this past week, the darn thing conked out.
The warm seat thing?
Well, you figure the car is going to be 8 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of times you get in and out of the car, you're going to wear out. Basically, it's a heating pad inside.
Right. It's a wire that goes around.
Right.
Yeah. Well, my van heated seat, I don't think has ever worked as it is intended to work.
Yeah.
But did you ever see, remember when we were younger, they had those machines and they'd put hot dogs on the end of them and they'd spin around?
Yeah.
Well, mine feels like that thing that you put the hot dog in, gets shoved up your posterior, and it just cooks in one particular spot, about 6 million degrees. So what I do is I just turn it on for a couple minutes and then I turn it off before it, because it hurts.
Yeah, one of the symptoms of the seat going out is that it got really hot, unbearably hot.
Mm-hmm.
When you had, there's two red dots, you click it on one,
right,
and then twice and you get two dots. That's the real hot one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one where you can keep your cocoa warm,
right,
if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got unbearably hot on the first button, and then it ceased to ignite. So,
wow.
And the part itself is $95. And if you were to go into a Ford dealership and get it done, it'd be $500.
Yeah, because I got to take the seat apart.
Yeah, well, guess who's going to take the seat apart?
Uncle Ron.
Yeah, I'm not doing it this winter.
No, do it in the middle of summer.
Yeah. So order the part, put it in. I'm good that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know enough about mechanical stuff to kind of keep things going there and to keep the man card valid and impress the ladies.
Mm-hmm. And you can cook, too.
Yeah.
In case anybody was wondering.
And then I'm intelligent. I'm funny. This is according to a third party, so I'm not being narcissistic here.
But you can cook.
Yeah. And
we had some Salisbury steak in the green room tonight.
I was told that I was, quote, unquote, a catch.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why haven't you been caught?
That's what I would like to know.
No one's sunk their hook into you yet.
Yeah. So, well, let's not talk about that. But that's the situation with the Ronmobile.
Okay.
Other than that, love the car. I'm going to need new tires in the spring. And, you know, it really makes it through the cold weather, with the exception of that seat conking out. Now, the passenger seat's fine. So maybe I should just unbolt the passenger. No, you can't, because it's
maybe
a right
you should
hand.
Just drive from the passenger side.
That's because nobody sits over there.
Yeah. So let me check the bell.
Still working, huh?
Yep. Got an email from our fair friend, Ruth Scowron.
Oh, yeah. How's Ruth?
She's happy. Unfortunately, as you predicted, she would not give me the word squirrely or squirrel.
I told you she wouldn't.
So long distance from the gem city of Dayton, Ohio, she says, no. But I sent back.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
So we'll probably hear from her. By the way, if you want to, and I encourage you to email us if you have any show suggestions, if you have a question for Hazard, a guess, or a big word for Ron, just let
Please
us know.
Please put big word for Ron in the subject line so he's not tempted to open it.
I will be honest. I will not.
Okay.
If it's in the subject line.
Big word with Ron.
Just put the word sepulture there.
Yes.
It's sepulcher, Hazard.
Oh, okay.
And parenthetically in the subject line, not you, Ron, then I'll understand to leave it be.
Mm-hmm. Who's this parenthetic person you were talking about?
The subject line of the email.
Oh, I was just checking.
Should we give the web email address?
Yes, we shall.
It is motorcitystatic@gmail.com. Yeah. All one word, motorcitystatic. Is that called the ampersand?
No.
It's called a...
What is it called?
The little A with a circle around it.
Yeah.
Gmail.com.
I used to know that.
Me too.
Hazard, you're looking rather fluffy today in the hair department.
You like that?
Yeah.
I've been using a new brand. Less buildup on the hair.
That's good.
So I look like a wild man even more.
He's got the mullet, the standard Hazard mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Business up front, party in the back.
Yeah. Everything. I don't know what kind of business he's doing in the front, though. It's a little bit lengthy there, too.
He doesn't dye his hair either. Look at it. It's still blonde.
Yeah, I don't dye mine either.
How did you guys manage to get through that without going gray?
I get the hair gene from my mother's side of the family.
All right. Because you know me, I'm white now.
My beard's gray.
Yeah.
The majority of it.
Makes you look distinguished, though.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to grow a beard, I'd probably have a...
It'd be gray.
No, it'd be patched gray.
Let's try it. Grow one.
I don't know.
Come on. Challenge is on.
No.
Do the listeners want it? The listeners want you to grow
a
beard.
It's like playoff... You know, it's like the playoff beard.
Playoff beard?
Yeah.
All right. If we get a couple of suggestions on the email, let's use it to test the email. If anyone's paying attention. I know a lot of people listen, but do they pay attention? I'm not so sure. But if you want me...
To grow a beard. Email us at motorcitystatic@gmail.com. And in the subject line, put Ron, grow a beard. We know Ruth would tell you not to.
Yeah, I'm going to put this in my church bulletin and
tell
everybody and their brother.
Go right ahead.
You better hit Uncle Ron up.
My mom said never grow a beard again. And, well, she's passed away.
Yeah.
My nieces don't even talk to me anymore, so I don't know what they care.
No.
No.
You're not getting chicks without one, so you might as well try it with one.
Yeah. But I'd feel strange because the top of my head is thin. Dare I say bald.
It's not really bald. Thin would be a better word.
Thin's in.
Yeah.
By the way, the South Koreans have made a breakthrough discovery with regard to baldness.
What's that?
They found something called a peptide. Well, there are tons of peptides. We know that. Thanks, medical students. But there's a certain peptide that you put it on the scalp and guaranteed to grow hair.
No kidding.
Guaranteed. No surgery, no scratching, no anything.
Just this peptide.
Yeah, it's a peptide. They're testing it now to make sure that it doesn't kill humans.
Well,
which
he was awfully hairy when he died.
Yeah, he looks great, but he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got that going for me. So hopefully in my 60s, if I make it to my 60s, I'll have a full head of hair.
You will.
Have a full head of hair.
No.
Make it to your 60s. I hope so. Way things are going, it's kind of touch and go. Anyway, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Sure.
The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of this following program is...
Hazard!
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. As you know, we mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege. Take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out that back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
Well, there was no pictures anywhere.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, this is it, Motor City Static, the kind of a show that Intercom and Beasley wish they had on their stations, but they don't. Instead, we're on the Biff Radio Network, heard on 88.1 FM out of Bloomfield Hills, and that blowtorch, 89.5 WAHS, home of Kim McNee, Wes Meisner, and Mitchell Payne, et al.
I thought it was Wise Mitzner.
Well, he is Wise.
You said his name wrong.
Wes Meisnitzer.
Yeah, that's what I said. You said West Meisner.
Did I?
You did.
Well,
go to the tape.
If we
thought it was Wes.
Wes Meisnitzer. I thought I said that.
Yeah. Well, when you listen back to the show, when you're critiquing yourself.
As I always do, because I want to make it a good broadcast. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Wes, if I messed up your name. On the off chance that I didn't mess it up.
Yes.
Well, there's nothing I can do. I can't gloat, so.
Ron, there's some very important things you need to remember in this life.
Yes.
Yes. I was reminded of it today, as a matter of fact. Hazard, you need to remember this, too. Chuck is cool. Chuck is awesome. Chuck is better looking than Ron. Chuck loves all of God's creatures.
Yes, he do.
And Chuck merely tolerates Hazard. And it's funny that the this note from Santa Claus should find its way to me this week because yesterday I was at the reptile show down in Taylor looking at some of God's creatures. And I was actually checking out some of the insects that they have there available for sale.
They sell insects too?
Oh, yeah, for feeders and stuff.
Oh, food, okay.
And sometimes they sell pets like different kinds of mantises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was listening to this guy talk to these people about dubia roaches.
Well, what?
Dubia, D-U-B-I-A.
Oh, I thought you said dubia roaches.
They're a good source of protein.
Okay.
For your reptiles. Easy to breed. They don't fly or anything, like, you know, or jump or whatever, like regular cockroaches. So, it's pretty interesting. Had a good time down there yesterday. Saw my friend Bill from Fish Club there.
Mm-hmm.
He was checking out some of the wares. Not really wares, some of the creatures available for petdom.
How was the traffic?
Packed.
Really?
I mean, inside the place?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was packed. You couldn't move.
Yeah. That seems to be a very popular
event.
Hobby and event.
Yeah, reptiles. Yeah, there's people there from all walks of life.
Excuse me.
And, I think they need a bigger facility, but it's popular. I think part of the popularity is it's been in the same place for so many years.
Where is it at?
It's at Taylor Town in Taylor, right there off of E-Course Road.
Is it big enough to go to the Novi Town Center or the Novi Expo Center?
They would need some more vendors, but it's probably, it was packed. I mean, you have to go through like you're going to the stage in the middle of the concert, you know, with your hand out in front of you, kind of. I didn't get to see everything I wanted to see, but I did get to see some pretty cool things.
That's good. All right, today is Sunday, January 14th. It's the 14th day of 2018, the second week of our return here on the Biff Radio Network. For those of you keeping track at home, 351 days left in the year. I tried to bring this feature out last week, but I forgot and ran out of time. So it's this day in history.
Okay.
Because it is good for some conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
So I figured I'd run down and see what's happening.
Since we're conversing, this would probably be a good opportunity.
On January 14th, 1968, Green Bay Packers of the NFL defeated the AFL's Oakland Raiders, 33-14. That was the second AFL-NFL World Championship game, which was Super Bowl II.
Really?
Yep. On this day, back in 1784, the United States ratified the Treaty of Paris, ending the Revolutionary War. And Britain followed suit in April. So, let's see. Charles Lutwidge Dodgson. Do you know that name, Hazard?
That's my baker.
His nom de plume was Lewis Carroll, author of Alice in Wonderland. He passed away on this date back in 1898, less than 2 weeks before his 66th birthday. In 1927, the Paramount silent comedy, It, was a romantic comedy, It, starring Clara Bow. She was known as the It Girl because she had it. Oomph. One of the first screen sirens, as they say. Jacek Broz Tito was elected president of Yugoslavia on this day.
Wow.
Marshal Tito.
Yep. In 1963, George Wallace was sworn in as governor of Alabama with a pledge, segregation forever, a view that he later repudiated. Sylvia Plath's novel, The Bell Jar, was published in London under a pseudonym less than a month before Plath committed suicide. In 67, the 60s Summer of Love unofficially began with a human be-in involving tens of thousands of young people at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. Chuck, you were there, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were there. Remember the House Un-American Activities Committee?
No.
From history?
No.
Where they brought everybody who was suspected of being a communist sympathizer before Congress?
No idea.
Well, back in this day, in 1975, it was disbanded.
No kidding.
Yeah, its name was changed to the House Internal Security Committee, but it was known for years as the HUAC Committee, House Un-American Activities Committee. And then finally, in 1989, President Ronald Reagan delivered his 331st and final weekly White House radio address, telling listeners, "Believe me, Saturdays will never seem the same. I'll miss you. Right, Mommy?" So that was that. 10 years ago, Bobby Jindal, first elected Indian American governor in the United States, took office in Louisiana.
We like him.
Yep. And then 5 years ago, Lance Armstrong ended a decade of denial by confessing to Oprah Winfrey, who I guess is running for president, during a videotaped interview that he'd used performance-enhancing drugs to win the Tour de France.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then the father from, what's that show with, I'm drawing a blank. The actor Conrad Bain, he died on this day 5 years ago. 89.
Oh, that was...
with Todd Bridges and Gary Coleman. What was that?
Different Strokes.
Different strokes. There, okay. Goodness gracious.
I just saw that with Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah.
The housekeeper.
So that's that. And birthdays. Who we got here? Maureen Dowd is 66. Jeff Tate of Queensryche is 59. Shep Smith from Fox News is 54. Rapper Slick Rick is 53. Zach Wilde, 51.
No kidding.
Yeah, LL Cool J is 50. Wow, he's young. Jason Bateman is 49. And Dave Grohl, everybody's favorite, is 49.
We had dinner last night, Dave and I.
Did you?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing good.
I remember seeing him at any one of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies with his daughter.
Uh-huh.
And two of them are sitting on the edge of their chairs just like kids, drinking it all in. It's a good father-daughter moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your dad gets off stage drumming for whatever super group is being inducted, and then they're like kids in the candy store just shouting and chattering away. So I like Dave Grohl.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to meet him. I'd like to hang out with him. So that's it. This Day in History got it in this week. All of your features are here. I assume we're going to have Big Words with Ron.
Yeah, I'm looking through them right now. Our producer has done a fine job again this week.
And then we've got a rock report, I'm sure.
Well, we have This Day in Music.
Oh, This Day in Music, okay.
Yeah, we're changing it up on you.
That's fine. And then hazard a guess, the last half hour of the broadcast, the topic is potpourri.
Oh, we love potpourri.
Yeah, there's three questions this time.
All right.
Is that that stuff you can eat? It's usually...
Put a little cream on it, some sugar, you have potpourri.
Okay. I'm surprised you don't have potpourri all over your castle.
I've got some actually in the West Wing there in the bathroom.
I'll bet you do.
Just a reminder, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. A lot of the government offices will be closed, no mail delivery and all that.
Oh, good.
Good.
Are schools open?
No school tomorrow. I'm working. but that's a different story.
Maybe that's why my pay your bills online thing was delayed by a day.
That could be. Here's what I don't understand. Sit there and you listen to all these people threatening government shutdowns. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't shut down the government. Why not? It's shut down on Saturdays and Sundays and legal holidays, and we still get through that.
Yeah.
Say shut the government down. A couple months, it'll save us some money, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So those of you who panic about the government being shut down, just want to remind you tomorrow the government is shut down, just like it was today and yesterday.
Here's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
We shut down the government. Well, not like all the government, but like the senators and the representatives and the president and the vice president and all those people.
Mm-hmm.
And we go let them work minimum wage jobs for 2 months.
I concur.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Follow them around with a TV crew
now,
make sure they're doing their job.
Now, you know, Congress in August, they recess for, what, 3-4 weeks?
Yeah.
2 of those weeks are vacation. 2 of those weeks you're supposed to have community meetings. What do they call those?
Town halls.
Town hall meetings. I would endorse their going out and flipping burgers, changing oil, cutting grass.
Washing cars.
Paying taxes.
Yeah.
Help somebody figure out their taxes.
There you go.
I think that's a splendid idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. I like that.
And then I'd like to repeal, I forget which amendment it is, but the one that has for direct election of senators. Let the states figure them out like they used to. That way they'd represent the states instead of getting elected and saying, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
You're supposed to do what the state wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was designed. But that's it. That's as far we're going with this conversation. So.
Okay, good, because you can get a permit for the soapbox anyway.
I was about to tell you that I'm in favor of the 33rd Amendment.
Well, there is no 33rd Amendment.
Oh, you didn't know?
No, what happened?
That was the one that authorized that Doritos shall be sold at every gas station, convenience stores, grocery store. So something I fully endorse.
They're not?
Oh, they are? Oh, okay.
Of course, because the 33rd Amendment is in effect.
I was just double-checking.
Jeez. And let's see. Oh, and then, you know, there's still repercussions of Trump dropping the word during the week describing Haiti and...
asshole.
Yeah. What's the big deal? I don't understand it. This righteous indignation. They never heard what LBJ said about things or Harry Truman said about things. It's like, why are they making a big deal out of it?
Because they got to make a big deal out of something.
Yeah. We're going to impeach him on this one, aren't we? So. All right, we've got music.
We do. Got one all queued up for you, Ron.
Let's go.
One of Detroit's favorites right here, Alice Cooper on Motor City Static. This is I Never Cry.
My version. I Never Cry, Alice Cooper on Motor City Static.
It's a good tune.
Very good tune. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to have a couple messages. We're going to come back with our second segment of the broadcast. You're listening to Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 FM, WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5 WAHS Auburn Hills. It's Ron Whittables, Chuck Riffenberg, Jeffrey Hazard here on a Sunday night trying to keep you warm around the hot stove. It's like our own hot stove league, right?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Don't forget our email address, MotorCityStatic@gmail.com, MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. And we
should Ron grow a beard?
And our webpage, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back, I guess. Big Words is up next, huh?
It was the Big Words or the Rock Report?
Oh, Rock Report. Rock Report next on Motor City Static. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. If you're just tuning in, wondering where Ruth is kind of on a sabbatical, I guess they would say.
Yeah, but she chimed in last week.
Oh, boy, did she.
See, and I was correct. She wouldn't have given you the word.
Yeah.
Squirrely.
But I said curvy, but you wanted flourished.
Yes.
Calligraphy would be squirrely. Calligraphy, you know, the design.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If it's got a lot of flourishes in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different types of calligraphy, but if you get really fancy, that would be squirrely writing.
Okay, if you insist.
And I said curvy because there are curves in stuff like that. But apparently Ruth said...
No, of course she did.
Because she's so against me. Martin Luther.
She just wants you to be right. She's not against you.
No, she's against me.
No, she wants you to be right.
She wants me to be precise?
Yes.
Okay. Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. Day off for our students of most of the schools around here. I don't know if the charter schools are in or not. They probably have the day off. But it will be a work day for yours truly. Working very hard to make sure that WBFH continues to be a radio station of exceptional value to the community. So I'll be working in music and stuff like that.
You do that.
I'm going to try. You're barking at me today, Haz.
Did I tell you one of my latest lines I like to use at the stores now?
What?
No, what's that?
You know, when you're checking out the register, they go, did you find everything you were looking for today? I usually say, why? What did you hide?
Does it throw them off? I'll bet it does.
It does.
Because they're not used to having you respond to that.
Yeah.
My favorite is, excuse me, did you find everything you wanted? No.
Oh, wow.
I just read this interesting one on Facebook here or something. It's the somebody buying a bunch of stuff at a store, and it says, would you like a box for those, sir? Whatever the items were, if you wanted a box up. He says, no, I hate violence. Is it cool? I just pay with my card.
Ah, that's funny. But as I was saying, Chuck...
Before you were so rudely interrupted.
Before I was rudely interrupted. So the clerk will say, did you find everything you wanted? And I said, no. And they're surprised because they're not used to that. Well, what were you looking for? I says, I was looking for a wife. Didn't find one. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Or I'm looking for a girlfriend. Ah, ha, ha.
Grow that beard, brother. Yeah. I'm telling you. They'll be hunting you down. Especially in the middle of winter, because you'll look all manly, like you can go out and chop down trees.
There's nothing you can do to me to make me look manly. It's just
stoke the fire.
No plastic surgery, no health regimen, nothing. I'm the way I am.
That's our latest question. Should Ron grow a beard? Email us your response to MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. In the subject line, put, yes, Ron, grow a beard.
Okay.
That's what we want.
And then big words with Ron if you have any words or if you have a question for Hazard to guess. Mm-hmm. Follow the same procedure. That way none of those guys will see. I mean, on your honor system when you answer the email account, you will avert your eyes if you see Hazard to guess in the subject line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A song you want to hear on the show, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we need to do that and engage our audience more.
Sure, why
not?
Year.
I mean, we've done everything. Uh-huh. Do you realize that I started this Little Dog and Pony Show 10 years ago this March?
Really?
Oh, my word. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's one-fifth of my life behind this microphone.
Back then it was Biff Bam Pow, correct?
That's correct. And we had, let's see, Chris Brown and Dave Jablonski. Yeah, Jabbo.
Jabbo, that man.
So.
And then me and Hazard came on board. How long ago, Ron?
I think it's 3 years ago.
No, it's longer than that.
5 years ago?
Longer than that.
6 years ago. Yeah.
6 years ago.
My mom will be gone five years this year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What? Who?
Man.
Yeah, you invited Hazard over for a cup of coffee and he never left.
That's true. That's true. A Pennsylvania family was reunited with their beloved dog after the small canine managed to survive being carried away by an eagle.
I saw this.
Monica Neward said her brother was letting the family's four dogs, including, Bichon Frise? Is that what the breed is?
Bichon Frise.
Oh, Bichon Frise Zoe, out to play in the family's Bowmanstown yard on Tuesday afternoon last week. When the man spotted an eagle that swooped down near the house. Neward told WFMZ-TV, he's thinking, what beautiful wings, and then all of a sudden he's going, oh my God, that's Zoe. Neward said the eagle quickly carried 8-pound Zoe out of sight. She said the family was shocked by Zoe's apparent demise. She said, never crossed my mind that that would ever happen. Never were we looking or ever thinking that our dog would be alive. It was dead, you know? Zoe's tale had not yet ended, however, as Christina Hartman spotted an unusual white object in a road about 4 miles from the Neward home about 2 hours after the eagle swooping. Hartman said, I see a little spot in the road, white spot. She said she initially thought it was snow. Then she soon realized it was a dog. Hartman took Zoe home and gave her some food and a place to rest. She went online and quickly saw Neward's Facebook post about the dog being taken by an eagle. The post, which had been shared by one of Hartman's friends, included a photo of Zoe. The family was reunited with their dog Wednesday. Neward said, people are good. There is good in this world. With everything that's going on in this world, you would think, no, there's not. And, well, there really is. Neward updated her Facebook post with news about Zoe's safe arrival home. She said a stranger offered her a large crate that would allow the dogs to play outside without fear of attacks from above. That's scary.
Huh, do you remember that time my Rottweiler Strummer and I got attacked by a hawk?
Barely.
We were doing the show back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was out yesterday in the dining room of my palatial mansion when I heard some screeching, and it was one of those peregrine falcons.
Really?
Those things are huge.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Or was it a hawk? Falcons are, what, about as big as my arm?
Yeah.
Well, this thing had big wingspan, so it must have been a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah.
They swoop out. They're hungry.
Man, you got all kinds of wildlife outside the mansion.
Squirrels and feral cats.
Skunks.
And falcons and hawks and skunks and possums. Yeah. And Hazard. Oh, my.
Yeah. He's the reason people pay admission to get in here, though.
Yeah.
Hazard. They don't want to see the skunks and the hawks. See this manly beast. Hey, so, I got a time. You got time for a quick story?
You've got time for as many stories as you would like to tell us.
So I was off last Tuesday, right?
Right.
And I didn't want it to be a wasted day. So I did a couple things. I went to the credit union and officially changed my address on my checks. I'd never done that. I had the temporary address on there for the last 5.5 years.
Whoa.
So I was out. I was out and about. I'm like, well, you know what? I need new wiper blades on the van. Now, I can't remember the last time I bought new wiper blades. But I went to a store that's of Irish descent. It sounds a lot like O'Reilly's.
Okay.
Okay.
Familiar with that place.
All right. So I go in there. Now, the last time I bought any auto part that you put on yourself, whether it be a taillight or a headlight or a wiper blade or anything like that.
Carter was in office, yes.
They used to have books that hung on, chain?
Yeah.
And you'd look up the part number in the book, right?
Mm-hmm. The books were thick.
Thick, like a telephone book.
Or Hazard Skull.
Yeah. So, but now they have computers in the aisles that you look up the part with. Fascinating. And you know me and technology.
Welcome to the 21st century.
We're not exactly good friends, technology and I. So I said, I'm going to do this. So I go in there and I punch in the year of my car and, you know, what I'm looking for, blah, 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 blah. And it comes up with these wiper blades. And I'm like, all right, I need a 24, 22 for the front and a 16 for the back. So I go to grab the long one off the rack. It was $28 for one wiper blade.
Are you kidding me?
No. And I'm like, so the next one's going to be 26 because it's 2 inches shorter. And then I was going to end up paying like $75 for three wiper blades. I'm like, not today, not ever.
What was the brand?
I don't remember.
Right.
Am I paying $75 for wiper blades? So I go back to the computer and I see there's a more button. So I push the more, and as I push the button, the price keeps dropping.
Ah.
But every time I'd walk away to go look, check the price, the computer would shut off and I'd have to start all over again.
Yeah.
So finally this lady says, actually it was the guy working behind the counter, says, you finding everything okay today, sir? I'm like, yeah, I need wiper blades, but I'm not going to pay $6 million for them. And he, in his smart behindness, says to me, well, will $5,999,999 be okay?
Oh.
And I think to myself, bro, you're a long-haired, bearded person just like me. Why do you have to be a smart butt?
Yeah.
I said, does that come with installation? And he said, why, yes. And I said, good. Then maybe we can work something out.
He caught you on a bad day.
No, I was having a good time until he had to be a smart butt. So then this lady comes over, and she says, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for some wiper blades for my 2005 Uplander, but I don't want to use all of next week's paycheck to pay for them. She says, well, the most expensive ones are here on the right. And as you move down towards the left, they get to be more economical. I said, well, I think we want to stick to left of center then. Because, you know, it's befitting of my personality and, you know, that's probably more within my budget. So she says, well, here we have the economy line down on the far left. Here are the winter blades. I said, let's go with the winter blades. My Uncle Dexter always told me to go with the winter blades. We're going with the winter blades. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even worry about the price because I knew they were going to be less than $100. She gets things. I had a jug of windshield washer fluid.
Yeah.
Rings me up $62.
You're kidding me.
For three wiper blades, wow, and a jug of fluid. Now, I did buy the premium Windex purple fluid. Yeah. For all ice, good below 50 degrees, below zero, that stuff. She says, 62, whatever the change is. And I said, does that come with installation? She says, they just clip on. I said, does it come with installation? Because now it's principal.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You want a little extra says, more for that money.
I can put them on for you. I said, good.
Wow.
So we went outside. She put my windshield wiper blades on. And they have these big signs all over the place. No working on your cars in this parking lot.
Right.
But I popped the hood and poured the washer fluid in there anyway.
You're a rebel.
I am. So I got new wiper blades on the van. It's full of washer fluid. I'm ready for some snow and ice.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. All right. Let's see. What time is it here? Anyone know what time it is?
It's time for the Rock Report with Hazard.
Chicken!
And who's doing it? You, Chuck, or Hazard?
I'm doing it. It's time for the Rock Report with Chuck.
All right. So we have to do a new...
It's not really the Rock Report. I like this day in music kind of history thing.
So we're going to have to come up with a new sounder.
Sure, why not?
Means extra work for me.
That's okay.
You're worth it.
After you cook us dinner, you can make a new sounder.
Yeah, I could do that, couldn't I?
So, Ron, on this day in 1977, David Bowie released his 11th studio album, which is entitled Low. The first of three collaborations with Brian Eno. Termed the Berlin Trilogy. The track Sound and Vision was released as a single and used by the BBC in the UK on trailers at the time, providing much needed exposure as Bowie opted to do nothing to promote the single himself.
Trailers? What, for movies?
Oh, they used it at the BBC, so probably for their sounders and stuff like that, I would imagine. Stingers.
Oh, okay.
You know? And it helped the song reach number three on the UK charts.
Right, so they would, in our vernacular, it's the bumper rotation.
Correct.
Bumper music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On this year in 1992, American rock drummer Jerry Nolan from the New York Dolls died from a fatal stroke at age 45. The influential American band formed in 1972 and made just two albums, the 1973 New York Dolls and 1974 Too Much Too Soon. Nolan joined the New York Dolls in the autumn of 1972 to replace Billy Mursa, who had died of asphyxiation as a result of a failed attempt to revive him from a drug overdose while on tour in England early in the band's career. Nolan left the Dolls altogether with Johnny Thunders in the spring of 1975. The two then placed a call to bassist Richard Hell, formerly of Neon Boys and Television, to form a band called The Heartbreakers.
Can I interrupt for something?
Sure.
We do these rock reports and this day in history, and we know, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll and all that stuff. Did any of this happen during the Baroque period of music or the classical music? Did you know, did people die of overdoses on a harpsichord or something?
All those people, I actually did some reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I'm not trying to be flip. I want to know because it seems that blues and rock and roll and country, well, rap and hip hop too, everyone's dying or
It was the
ODing.
Jazz musicians that started smoking weed before they went on show back in the early 20s.
So were any of the classical, quote unquote, classical musicians, were they afflicted by this?
I don't know if any of them died, but in my early years, as a teenager, I was reading all these rock and roll biographies, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Rolling Stones, Beatles, everything I could get my hands on, right? In about my mid to late 20s, I went down to the DIA to see an exhibit. There was a biography on Van Gogh. And I said, I'm going to get this and read about somebody other than a musician. I'll read about an artist. And Van Gogh had the same depression, anxiety, alcoholism, drug doing. It was basically, he had a paintbrush instead of a guitar, but the story was the same.
Yeah.
So,
can you imagine some bulletin board in the 1740s? Someone's looking for a replacement harpsichord player because he took too much snuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Drank too much booze. I'm sure it happened.
You know, got caught with a jealous husband or a wife of a jealous husband or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering because, you know, and this is no commentary on what you're bringing to the table here, but the more things change, the more they're the same. You know,
absolutely.
The music genres change, but I guess artists are all tortured souls at heart.
Yep.
So, basically. Anyway.
And then that's why it gets popular, because the American public is tortured souls at heart,
yeah.
Or the music-buying public anyway. So then they relate to the music because, like I've said many times on this show, I could have wrote this song.
Yeah. Or you're sitting at a tea, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that the cello player got caught or something, you know? And
right.
I don't know.
And finally, Ron.
Okay.
The cello.
On this day in 2010, guitarist Jimmy Page was honored with the United Nations' first ever Pathways to Peace Award. Pathways to Peace is an international peace-building, educational, and consulting organization which has consultative status with the United Nations. And on that note, Ron,
yes.
Everybody knows Jimmy Page is the guitar player for Led Zeppelin. I mean, that's what he's primarily known for, right?
That or Greta Van Fleet, because they sound the same.
Oh, Ron.
What?
But anyway.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, he did an album with David Coverdale called Coverdale Page.
Oh, remember that one.
And I had tickets for this show, and it got canceled.
Oh, man.
Never got rescheduled. So this is, if you close your eyes.
I'm doing that right
and
now.
And you think of all those Led Zeppelin movies you ever saw, all those photographs of Jimmy Page, you can probably hear this song. See the images. It all works out well together. From Coverdale Page, this is Absolution Blues on Motor City Static.
Absolution Blues on Motor City Static. Coverdale Page.
Correct.
They play that on the radio in Detroit?
No.
No.
They might have when it came out. I don't remember.
Welcome to Motor City Static, the podcast you wish you had. But we got it on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 FM, WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5 WAHS Auburn Hills. Big hello to Kim McNee, Wes Meisnitzer, Mitchell Payne, the entire staff over there.
Mitchell Payne, that's a radio name if I ever heard one.
Keith Fraley, the chief engineer, the guy responsible for...
Did we meet him last year?
I think we
did.
Me
and Hazard, he went to lunch with us, didn't he?
When
we went out for lunch after we were there?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, he was there.
Nice facility over there.
Oh, it's a lovely place. You guys are very lucky. I wish I had that candlestick. Let me tell you, all the cornfields of St. Clair and Macomb counties are being served by that there signal, 89.5 FM.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't have time to tell you this story, so I'll wait till after the break.
Okay.
But it's an interesting story.
We'll anxiously await.
I will give you a clue.
Okay.
Channel 955, Mojo in the Morning.
Oh, yeah, you had a meeting with him last week, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
All right. Did you drop my name?
Oh, I didn't have that meeting. No.
Oh.
I'm still waiting for that meeting.
Okay.
But it's... The subject of that meeting is what I will discuss.
Okay.
After the break.
Is it Chuck Riffenberg, the subject?
No.
Dang.
Sorry.
I'm sure I'll pop up in some way, shape, or form, you being the name dropper that you are.
Well, I mention all my colleagues, you know that.
Speaking of colleagues, he did that story earlier about the Bichon Frise.
Yeah, and the eagle and the dog.
Our colleague Bill Szymanski is an enthusiast of the Bichon Frise.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's got two of them.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Hypoallergenic, Ron. Won't sneeze.
Like Wheaton Terriers, too.
Yeah, better than the Wheaton Terriers. They're like the most hypoallergenic dog you can get.
What about Corgis?
No.
Okay. But I need dogs that are hypoallergenic.
Yeah, those are the ones that you have to have their hair cut. Yeah. Generally speaking.
Okay.
But they got all kinds of shampoos and stuff you can use now, too. For the animal, not you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could use this. I mean, you could use the shampoo on you if you wanted.
I could.
I mean, I've used dog shampoo in a pinch before.
You have?
Oh, many times.
I did not know. Well, it does the job.
Yeah, it's shampoo, right?
Right.
And you ever, after you wash your dog, did you ever hear how feel how soft and luscious their fur is and smells good?
Oh,
right?
Oh man, do they smell nice?
Hey, you know, little oatmeal shampoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used, dog shampoo all the time.
Yeah, but does the lab shake its head and, you know.
I don't know, but walking, I shake mine after I use the dog shampoo.
Walking down the street.
All right, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard on the blower tonight, having a blast. Our show is halfway done. Cut it down from 3 hours to 2 hours to make things go a little quicker.
Mm-hmm. Quicker they do go, too.
And we'll have some announcements about upcoming guests, I'm sure, as the night goes on.
Oh, yeah. We've got some lined up already.
And
Your New York's going to come on in March.
Okay. That's
speaking
good.
Of which, I heard from Michael Miller the second. They've gotten invited to play some festivals this summer.
Okay, and then the Warrior Racing Team and then Alan Maestri.
Yeah. All right,
we're going to take a break. This is the Biff Radio Network. Back after these messages. I love doing this broadcast. I love it. I love it. I love it.
As do I.
Halfway through Motor City Static, the big radio extravaganza on the Biff Radio Network.
Did we get some feedback last week from the kids or anything?
No.
All right.
Sorry.
Pete, listen.
I don't know.
We know Ruth listened.
Ruth listened. I listened. Well, wait, I was doing the show.
Yeah.
I have to listen.
Well, you listened to the playback.
I listened to the playback. I made a lot of mistakes with the CD player last week.
Yeah,
it was
you did.
Horrible.
You're doing better this week.
That's tough. All right, so here's the story. Mojo in the Morning. First week back in the new year was the 2nd through the 5th.
Correct.
Students weren't in the station because that was their holiday, but I'm on a different schedule, so it's a work day for me, which is great because I get a lot of time to do things that I don't get to because the kids are needy. Let's face it. You kids
you
are needy.
To clean.
Yeah, clean, organize, work on the public file, make sure everything's filed with the FCC, add some music to our automation systems and all that fun stuff.
Right.
So on Wednesday, we also had a basketball game between Clarkston and Bloomfield.
Okay.
So the building was open and people were at the other end of the building and I was at the radio station minding my own business. I got some visitors.
Really?
Yeah. One of them was Mojo from Channel 955. He was there with his buddies.
No kidding.
Walked into the station. Now, he's never been to our new studios. You guys have been. A number of people have been to the new studios. Mojo has not ever made it to our studios.
Is he an alum?
No. But he was at our old studios at Losser. That part of the Losser building has been torn down. So he saw us crammed into two rooms with all this equipment and noise.
Uh-huh.
So he walks into the studio. I'm working on the music library, and he was just so happy to see us, and he was impressed. He was impressed.
How could you not be?
And I quote, "Ron, your studios are better than ours at iHeartMedia." And that's a fact.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he didn't have a lot of time to talk to me because it was the halftime of the basketball game.
Okay.
But he took a business card and he said, "I want to come back and visit and hang."
Nice.
And are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to originate one of his broadcasts from our studio.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's big.
That's pretty darn big. So that's that story.
So bringing the whole crew?
The whole crew.
Into your studio.
Use our facilities, our microphones.
Do like an uplink or something.
Yeah, or use the Comrex access system. We'll do it by internet.
Wow.
It's what we do for our ball games. You know, we can do a live remote anywhere. In fact, this
summer.
So it'll
be Mojo in the Morning live from the Biff studio.
Oh, absolutely.
Bloomfield
yeah.
Hills.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that would be really cool. So, a week goes by. It's Wednesday of this past week. Now, my schedule is such that I sleep in a little bit every morning. So, my phone
So, you wake up at 6 a.m.?
Yeah, so I wake up at 6. Actually, my phone was ringing at 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking, oh, what does Hazard want this time? Because you're always calling me.
What up?
hey, it's, hey, you know, it's 7:30 in the morning. I already planted the corn and everything and mowed the lawn and, what are you doing?
I'm sleeping, Hazard.
Well, you need to get up. It's burning daylight. Gotta get the crops in the field.
The boy's taking a nap at 11:45 this morning.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong, Hazard? I'm an old man. I need my naps.
Hazard, not all of us are Johnny Jump Up, okay? Did I hear the rooster? Hazard's up.
Wait, hey, rooster, you were a little bit late there.
Johnny Jump Up.
I don't know that guy.
So the phone rings frantically, and I'm thinking, oh, God, really? Okay, Hazard. Blah, 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 blah. Look, it's my sister Tracy.
Oh, no.
Who calls me once every quarter, right?
Yeah.
She is just losing it on the phone. You need to turn on the radio. Turn on the radio now. That's my sister. Doesn't sound like that, but
right.
I'm going, what's wrong? They're talking about you. They're talking about you. I'm going, who? Mojo in the Morning. I'm going, oh, great. So I'm fumbling to get myself halfway across the room.
That's not a station you have on your radio.
No, up front.
It's not on the AM band.
If it's not on the AM band, I don't listen. And no offense, Mojo, and guys and gals and all that, but it's, you know, I'm a get-off-my-lawn kind of guy.
You are.
I'm an old soul that way.
You pet skunks out on your deck.
Hey, I need to feed that possum.
So anyway, I get to the radio, I turn it on, and sure enough, I heard the last syllable of Whittables.
Bulls.
Bulls, yeah. Yeah, and then Mojo says to the gang, you know, how about we do a remote from their studios? And everyone agreed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool, but then they went to some bit and then whatever. So my sister calls me back and gave me the lowdown. She was en route to looking up another radio station. She stopped at 955.
Oh, you've taught her well, Ron.
She's
DXing.
Yeah, she's heard a conversation about a high school radio station, so naturally she stops because her interest is piqued. And she heard the whole thing, and they were talking about us and how Mojo came down to the studios. And I says, did they pronounce my name correctly? And she says, yeah, right out of the gate. I'm going, good. So
that's all that really matters.
Yeah, but it's not about me. It's about the program. You know mm-hmm. that. And oh, it's yeah. about the students because they deserve to get mm-hmm. all of the accolades and the attention for the hard work that they have done this past year. Because Pete retired. That's a lot of heavy lifting to do. And these kids came through it. So it would be a nice reward. A little feather in the cap. A little pom-pom on the skull cap for our staff, if Mojo and his crew.
Pat on the back.
Yeah.
Is that still legally acceptable?
I don't know. So when the details come, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do.
You know, and maybe the two of you clowns can take your day off of work, call in sick.
Yeah, if we know in advance, I might be able to get it off.
And then we can all hang out.
That'd be fun.
Which means I'd have to get down there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, geez, not me. Can he do it at noon?
Well, no, I wish they could. But
maybe I'll listen to the replay.
Their show is from 6 to 10, and I guess they do a best-of warm-up show from 5 to 6. You know, that's what we should do with all the shows I have in the can. We should do our own warm-up show.
I've been trying to tell you that for 2 years.
But then I'd have to edit them all.
Right.
I don't have time.
Oh, okay.
I wish we could make money on this so I could have assistants to do that.
There you go.
Hey, go get me some warm-up stuff. So. All right, Motor City Static, the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend on the Biff Radio Network. Did you ask me whose birthday it was? Jeff Tate, right?
We're going to hear some Queensryche later.
Later? Do you want to do it now? Or?
Well, it's two big words now.
Oh,
I'm anxious.
Okay.
I'm anxious to see you fail.
You want to see me fail?
Yeah.
All right, let me find my... Well, here
get
we
your
go.
Script.
Yeah,
I'll get this thing on ready here.
The bell.
There you go. Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron! Now from luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg! At this point, we need applause, so.
Yeah.
I love that song. Jim Morris Jr. was nice enough to let us use that theme, so there you go.
This episode of Big Words with Ron brought to you by Hazard's House Cleanliness Critiquing Service.
God, he was rough on me today.
What's up with the floor?
He blamed it on me.
It's winter. He's tracking in the mud from outside.
Yeah. You don't like it, Hazard? Bring a mop next time. All right, Ron, your first word is from the Middle English.
All right.
It has two definitions. Both are adjectives. Now, we have no first documented use here on this word. But the word is propitious.
Oh, man, propitious.
Propitious. No, it just says propitious.
Propitious? How do you spell that?
P-R-O-P-I-T-I-O-U-S. Propitious.
This is a word that I knew at one time, but I completely forgot.
Oh.
So lay that sentence on me. What Hazard?
I could say, I think it's a new drug for baldness.
Propitious.
No, that's something.
That's propitia.
Oh.
It's something tied. What was that?
Peptide.
Peptide.
It's a peptide. No, but that's that, Hazard?
Yeah.
That was funny. I appreciate that.
Foreign aid had a propitious effect on growth in poor developing countries in the 1960s and on middle income countries in the 1970s. Or if we were to read it in today's vernacular, foreign aid had a propitious effect on growth in poor developing S-hole countries in the 1960s and on the middle income countries in the 1970s.
Oh, well, let's see.
Like to keep things current.
So it's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pro means good. It's endorsing of pro. A positive. It's a positive effect. So propitious would be a positive effect.
Ruth would not give it to you with that answer.
Why are you kidding me?
No. She's probably giving me a big thumbs up all the way from Dayton right about now.
Are you kidding me?
Propitious? No.
But it's a good word. It's pro.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
It's pro growth. It's an effect. E-F-F-E-C-T. Effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good effect. Good influence, good effect. Prime the pump.
Not the definitions given to me.
Are you seriously?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Propitious. Sam, I should know this word.
You should. You said you've seen it before.
I have, but I can't remember. It's not auspicious. It's propitious.
Propitious.
Hmm. Propitious. Sentence again.
Foreign aid had a propitious effect on growth in poor developing countries in the 1960s and on middle income countries in the 1970s.
Hmm. Propitious. I am at a blank here.
You giving up?
Because it's a good effect. That's the definition. Beneficial effect. Benefits. I'm not going to get it.
No, not.
All right. Yeah.
Presenting favorable conditions is definition number one. And definition number two is favorably inclined, kindly. So Hazard is propitious in his efforts to help those less fortunate than him.
Except for me in this Big Words with Ron.
Well, maybe you ought to sleep outside in the cold once and you'll have a...
But it's beneficial.
Yeah.
So I thought
you
presenting...
kind of there.
Favorable conditions. Beneficial.
Really? This is like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's why I left it in there.
It's going to take me a minute to figure out how to say this.
Are there any consonants in there? Or?
Oh, there's lots of consonants and vowels.
Right.
I can tell you, Ron, that its earliest documented use was not listed in this.
As before.
1741. its earliest documented use. And it is from the Latin.
1741, that's how many likes he's got on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah. It's from the Latin.
All right.
All right. I could probably take 10 minutes spelling it, but I'm just going to try to abuse the pronunciation okay. of it instead. Floxinocini.
You know,
hilification.
You should just give me the word because you can't spell it.
You want me to spell it for
it's
you?
It's a gimme, yeah.
Floxc.
Yeah.
Ina. Ucini.
Wait, wait. Floxcinau.
C-I-N.
C-I-N.
I-H-I-L-I-P-I.
What?
L-I-fication.
Floxinocinil.
Pilification. Floxinocinil.
What is this, some sort of medical term hazard? You've got to
no,
be kidding.
No, it's not.
His eyes are rolling.
Floxinocinihilipilification. There you go.
It was something that the doctor prescribed for me.
I have no idea. All right, Chuck, Mr. Smarty Pants, use it in a sentence.
Oh, I will. Let me turn the page here on my script. I have been gathering relevant state public investment data since 2000, and in that time have provided a consistent approach to calculating our fair share. I hope I avoid the floxinocinification. How many letters are in that? Does it count that?
It's got to be 13 or 14.
Oh, there's more than that. Well, he's counting, you think, because dead air is not good.
I know. Well, I'm just because I'm drawing a blank.
It's a noun. How many?
29
letters. Words in that letter.
And I and L appear the most.
Oh, my gracious me.
Floxinocinilification.
All right. How about, I'm going to take a wild guess here. With regard, it has to be about the accuracy of the reports.
No.
Really?
Nope.
Well, then I have no idea.
Well, I wish Ruth was here to pronounce this word for
no,
us.
No, she'd laugh at me for 10 minutes. Then she would.
Yeah. It is, are you giving up on this one?
Oh, yeah.
Estimating is worthless. Kind of like this word.
Yeah. Jeez.
But here, look at it, Ron.
Let me see that word.
Yeah, you go ahead and try to pronounce it, even with the phonics there.
Floxinocinilification.
That's what I said.
You know, we should bring this up on the website.
I think we should. Might be my Facebook post when we're done here.
You know what? And the meaning is estimating is worthless.
Yeah.
Wow. Floxinos.
That's a good word, Hazard.
Floxinocinil.
It's going to make that one seem easy. That one's only got 34 letters.
I would like to see some kid get this word at a spelling bee. They would go crazy.
I wonder if it ever has been given out.
I don't know. Okay, next word here.
All right, Ron, your next word is a noun as well. It is from the French.
Okay.
And its earliest documented use, well, it was used in an article by Henry Maximilian Beerbohm in 1914. Or maybe it's Beerbohm.
It's Beerbohm.
Beerbohm.
Not a beer bomb.
It's from the French.
That is what? Hard liquor in a beer, right? What's that?
Irish car bomb.
Yeah, there you go. Jeez.
Legerity.
How do you spell that?
L-E-G-E-R-I-T-Y.
Legerity.
No, legerity.
Legerity?
I'm reading it phonetically.
L-E-G-E-R. E-E-R.
I-T-Y. Legerity.
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 And that's a noun? No.
Is a noun.
Okay. I'm going to need a sentence. And we're waiting.
I was going to use this one, but I think I'll come up with one on my own.
Okay.
Our own Jeff Hazard demonstrated a high degree of legerity while working on his man cave. That's pretty good, huh, Hazard? Yeah, it's not bad.
Works for me.
Discipline?
No.
Neatness?
No.
Organizational skill?
No.
I'm whiffing at nothing.
Do you want the sentence that the thing gave us?
Yeah.
I began to follow at the same rate, but immediately slackened speed for fear that Watts Dunton behind us might be embittered at a sight of so much youth and legerity.
There's nothing in that sentence. There's no antecedent to even guess what that
means. Don't use big words and big words.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I have no
idea. You, at times, Ron, have...
Air of authority?
Demonstrated...
An air of authority?
A great deal of legerity.
Piousness?
No.
Gentlemanly qualities?
No.
Patience?
No.
You had to think about that one.
Keith Jackson, the recently departed sportscaster.
Yeah, 89 years old.
As he was broadcasting a football game, may have used the word legerity to describe the play of an athlete. Pretty good, huh, Hazard?
That's good.
Legerity?
Oh, if you don't get it here, you're bombing.
I'm bombing. I have no
Just
idea.
Just like beer bomb here.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Nimbleness and agility.
Ah.
Man, I handed you that on a platter.
Give it to you on a platter, Ron.
I didn't know that.
All right, here's our final word.
Wait a minute. Now, what's his standing right now? What is he, 0 for 3?
0 for 3. I'm whiffing. We're going to go down.
We're going to go down because this is a good one right here.
All right.
This word, Ron, is from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a noun. Let me see if I can turn the page here, which is awfully hard to do with a Band-Aid on my index finger. So let's use the thumb on the other hand.
All right.
People could see us here. We need to do video. We really do. So I can see if you can tell me.
This is legerity.
Earliest documented use, 1796. Yeah, I wasn't using very much legerity when I was turning the page here, was I, Hazard? Earliest documented use, 1796.
All right.
The word, Ron, is senectitude.
Senectitude?
Senectitude.
S-Y?
S-E-N.
Oh.
E-C-T-I-T-U-D-E.
S-E-N-E-C-T-I-T-U-D-E.
Correct.
Senectitude.
Senectitude.
Wow. I don't know.
You're kidding me.
No.
I would have thought you would have seen this all the reading you do.
Yeah, what up with that?
I'll need a sentence.
Sure. Oh, that'll give it away.
Jeez.
Earlier today, Ron, while we were having dinner in the green room, you were discussing your own senectitude.
Of? Senectitude of what?
No, that's good, isn't it, Hazard? Earlier today, while having dinner in the green room, you were discussing your own senectitude.
Yep.
My senectitude was... Yeah. I was talking about my senectitude.
You were
talking about your senectitude, yep.
I can't remember what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, many times we were talking about senectitude.
This is part of the senectitude. Ruth is snorting right now.
I know, she's having a good laugh at my expense. Snorting. I haven't the slightest idea. I can't remember what I was talking about at dinner.
You talked about many things.
Yeah. How about my ability to talk about different subjects at hand?
No.
No?
We were discussing this at dinner.
I give up.
Old age.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That was bad.
Oh, for four.
Oh, for four. Not one of my great outings.
Oh, for four.
Well, you know, we all have off days.
I should probably get a song. I got a song queued up. All right, we're good.
All right. Let's see. Let's look at those words. We had propitious, meaning presenting favorable conditions. And then the second one was that F word.
Yeah.
That F word.
The new F word.
Which meant, forgot.
Estimating is worthless.
Yeah, worthless estimating. Legerity, which is the nimbleness and agility. And then because of my senectitude, I can't remember half of what I was talking about. And that's how we play Big Words with Ron. Man, what an embarrassing outing. That was just embarrassing. That was downright embarrassing. Not one of my best efforts.
Yep.
Maybe my senility is getting to me.
Your senectitude.
Well, that and my senility.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind. All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, the kind of podcast you wish you could have, but you don't because it's ours. Mm-hmm. Ron Chuck Hazard having a good time here on the Biff Radio Network. Hazard, a guess, is coming up the next segment.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just flying by.
Flying by,
having fun.
Astrobogulous one himself.
MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. If you want to be heard on the broadcast, we will read back our emails.
Should Ron grow a beard? That is the topic of this week's email discussion.
Among other things, we have a website, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. A copy of said broadcast will be loaded there for you to listen at your convenience anytime during the week.
Play it for your coworkers.
Yeah, they'd love it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what? Those guys are funny. This is great. What radio station are they on?
88.1 FM.
And 89.5 all over.
The Blowtorch.
Northern Metro Detroit.
Worldwide at WBFH.FM.
Music time here.
We don't have enough time left for the song I have queued up.
How long is the song?
5:21.
We don't have time for that.
No.
Jeez.
And by the time I queued one up, it'd be the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour or whatever.
Yeah, well. Okay.
So we might as well just, we can either go out early.
No, I got a story here.
Oh, good.
This is a man, Mukand Singh is a guy, and he says, quote, "The first time I drank fresh living spring water, a surge of energy and peacefulness entered my being. I could never go back to drinking dead water again." Now, he is the founder of Live Water. Okay, it's a business. What is he selling? He is selling raw water.
I heard about this.
Yeah, this seems to be the latest trend. It is the selling of untreated, unfiltered, unsterilized drinking water for human consumption.
They're charging like $60 for 3 gallons.
Yeah. According to a recent report by the New York Times, Live Water and several other startups have gained traction, particularly on the West Coast. It's, you know, the crazies are over there, right? Over the past few years, thanks largely to Silicon Valley venture capital, one Arizona-based firm, Zero Mass Water, which installs systems allowing people to collect water from the atmosphere around their homes, has already raised $24 million.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Silicon Valley entrepreneur Doug Evans has embraced Live Water and become, as Times wrote, the most prominent proponent of raw water. Evans, who brought 50 gallons of Live Water to the Burning Man Festival this year, stated that the raw water trend now has a legitimate foothold. He says, quote, "I'm extreme about health, I know, but I'm not alone with this. There are a lot of people doing this with me. You never know who you'll run into at the spring." Now, Evans indeed isn't alone. The Times reported that 2.5-gallon glass orbs of Live Water were selling for, Hazard,
$60 for 3 gallons.
Not only that, but $36.99. So $36.99 for 2.5-gallon glass orbs. The cost of the container. So you get a free container. Thank goodness. It's like your wiper blades. Someone will install them for that amount of money.
It's like when you go to buy the beer at the pub and they give you the glass. Yeah.
And now Hazard was right. In the few days since that report went live, Business Insider stated that the price rose to $60.99. Matters of taste aside, those paying such a price for raw water are likely motivated by raw producers' claims that treated water eliminates beneficial minerals and probiotics while adding in harmful chemicals. So they're saying that raw water has all of that for you. I think it's crazy.
I heard it could be dangerous, too.
Absolutely. All right, back with our last segment here on the Biff Radio Network after these messages. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. You know, it's interesting because the story here, Mr. Singh says, goes on to say, tap water, you're drinking toilet water with birth control drugs in them. Chloramine, and on top of that, they're putting in fluoride. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but it's a mind control drug that has no benefit to our dental health. There are a bunch of crazies out there on the West Coast. So that's that. Furthermore, Singh believes that raw water can cure certain ailments, including, for example, a mineral deficiency that was preventing one woman from being able to breastfeed her child. What?
It's crazy. Yeah, that is.
Now, back when I was in my late teens and early 20s, I used to drink some of the well water up there in Grand Bend, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That had a lot of minerals in it. And it would
fine taste and stuff, too, I'll bet.
Actually, it was. It wasn't that bad.
Well, you got the best water in the world here.
Yeah, we do. But after drinking some of that mineral water up there out of the ground, the well water,
mm-hmm.
I actually did feel good. Spring water, you know, does contain minerals. And when we're deficient in minerals, we tend to get tired, listless, and
lethargic.
Yeah. So
no legerity.
But still, I mean, they've got to. I wouldn't pay all that money to drink raw water. It's just crazy. They're warning you not to go camping and drink from a river because you don't know what that is.
Well, I know you can't drink. Well, they don't want you catching rainwater.
No?
No, I know that's illegal now.
What do you mean it's illegal?
Yeah.
Wow. It's illegal to catch rainwater?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Where?
A lot of cities. You tried, you know, if I put it into a rain barrel and that?
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I used to have a rain barrel at the old house.
I don't know.
Another reason?
Why? Because they want you to use their water to water your plants and your garden.
I have no idea.
Which just leads to the theory about the birth control and that other stuff.
Call you a
conspiracy. We are on to something.
Yeah. I don't get it. They're talking about ecology and green environment, and here's the perfect example of using a green environment, and they won't let you have a rain barrel? Is it because of mosquitoes or something?
I don't know.
No, we never had any problems with mosquitoes.
Wow.
You used to use water for watering the tomatoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you know.
And the plants?
I remember those in hand trimming,
too. Some people have two, three rain barrels hooked together.
That's crazy.
It's a hookup.
Yeah. Some people, you catch rainwater outside for their aquariums.
All right. Water City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard having a wonderful time. What do you say we do this?
Why don't we?
Man, things are humming along here. Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. A guess? Yes, kiddies, Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight. I really have, honestly, I have.
Really?
Yeah. I don't do as much work as I used to.
I know.
I would come in with a stack of show prep.
We have been the beneficiaries of that because now you have time to feed us.
Well, yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. So we present a Surefire Network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, Johnny Jump Up, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Motor City Static regulars, played by Chuck.
Do you have anything you want to email us for Hazard? Just put Johnny Jump Up in the subject line.
Gather on the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Big Daddy.
Yo.
Johnny Jump Up.
Are you ready to hazard a guess?
Yep.
All right. Johnny Jump Up. All right, our subject this week is potpourri.
So excited. Yeah. Hazard has a dish of potpourri in the guest restroom in the West Wing.
Mm-hmm. So that means three unrelated topics.
He really does have a guest restroom.
I know.
And he really does have a West Wing.
I know. He's got the mansion, let me tell you.
Living large.
All right, Hazard, here we go. Look me in the eye.
My guest restroom's out behind the garage.
Too much information. Look me in the eye, the good eye, Hazard. Are you familiar with the psychology of birth order? In a
absolutely.
Family?
Absolutely.
Being like siblings? Firstborn, second? Yeah, okay.
So this question pertains to that.
All right.
According to observations by psychologists, newscasters and talk show hosts tend to be where in the birth order of their siblings.
Mm.
According to observations by psychologists, newscasters, and talk show hosts, of which we are,
Yeah, yeah.
We tend to be where in the birth order of our siblings? Birth order. Firstborn, secondborn, middle child, kid, half-brother, half-sister. Which order? How you appear in the litter, as they say. If you were a puppy, a cute, adorable puppy, which you could very well play one on TV, and you were first, second, third, middle child, runt, and you were a newscaster and a talk show host, where would you be in the birth order according to the rest of your siblings?
I'd be considered what is a redheaded stepchild.
A redheaded stepchild?
Yeah.
Well, you're not redheaded.
I know. I was just...
Ron wants the bell.
He wants the bell. I'm going to say...
Mullet-headed stepchild, more like.
There you go.
Yeah, that's funny. According to observations by psychologists, newscasters and talk show hosts tend to be where in the birth order of their siblings?
Number two.
Number two. Second child. Yep. Second child. Chuck, what say you?
Well, Hazard's the oldest.
Yeah.
You're the oldest.
Oh.
I think it's the oldest.
You think it's the oldest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the answer is, Chuck?
The oldest.
That's right. Newscasters and TV talk show hosts tend to be firstborns or only children. Prominent examples include Peter Jennings, Oprah Winfrey, Geraldo Rivera, and Rush Limbaugh. Because only children spend so much time alone, they tend to be self-entertainers and often tend to be the most creative of all birth orders. One researcher calls them super firstborns. Like firstborns, they are confident, pay attention to detail, and tend to do well in school. Now, Barack Obama is a firstborn.
But he's not a radio host.
No, but he was president of the United States.
True.
Okay. He has a half-sister, Maya. Hillary Clinton is a firstborn. She has brothers, Hugh and Tony.
Really? You never hear about them.
Yeah, well, Tony always gets in trouble with the law. Hugh, you don't. Famous only children include...
Seems to run in the family.
I know. Famous only children include Natalie Portman, Maria Sharapova, Tiger Woods, Alicia Keys, Shane West, and Jada Pinkett Smith. People I don't know.
Really?
Yep.
You don't know any of them?
No. I know Tiger Woods. I've heard of Alicia Keys. Shane West, I don't know. And Jada Pinkett Smith. Married to Will Smith?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, there you go. Because firstborns tend to be perfectionists, they may be afraid to of making mistakes and resist taking action. They may also have trouble admitting when they're wrong. Just for the record, Donald Trump is a middle child. Statistics show that firstborns and lastborns visit therapists and counselors more often than middle children. So again, Donald Trump is not crazy.
Well, that's debatable.
It goes on to say here, firstborn, they're perfectionistic, reliable, list makers, well-organized, critical, serious, scholarly, thirsty for approval, conservative, and law-abiding, self-critical, bad at delegating, and more likely to seek help. That's me. Secondborn, mediator, fewest pictures in the family photo album, avoids conflict, independent, extremely loyal to the peer group, many friends, relaxed, diplomatic, easily persuaded, realistic about own talents and abilities, champion of the underdog. That's my brother Jerry.
That's me.
That's you. That's you.
But you're the firstborn.
I'm second.
Dale's older.
Dale's older than you?
No, Dale's junior.
Oh.
There was a third. There was another.
Okay.
Did a little... It
didn't survive.
Yeah.
All right.
Was a kid?
Yeah.
Newborn?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
Lasted like 10 days, maybe 2 weeks.
Chuck, are you the last born?
I'm the last born.
Oh, sit down for this one.
The best.
Manipulative, charming, blames others, shows off, people person, good salesperson, precocious, dependent, disorganized, creative, and innovative, lower self-esteem, easily disappointed.
Cool, awesome. Loves all of God's creatures.
Yeah. And then if you're an only child, you're academically successful, self-confident, happy alone, logical and organized, not street smart, perfectionist, afraid of disorder. So, whether that.
That's Hazard, afraid of disorder.
That's right. Hey, what up, Rod? Cleaning floors.
Yeah.
Do that.
Call the clean lady in. Let's go.
All right, Hazard, here we go. Question number two. According to historians, what is the first animal to have been domesticated? And don't say women. According to historians, what is the first animal to have been domesticated? I'm going to get email on that one. According to historians, what is the first animal to have been domesticated? Now, we've domesticated a lot of animals through antiquity, since time began. But what was the very first animal to have been domesticated? And that animal is still around today.
Yes, it is. It is known as a head of lettuce.
Roll over.
Yeah.
I'm taking this one seriously.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go with a domesticated. Going to be a cat.
A cat. I don't think cats are domesticated to this day because they have their own attitude. And they just don't want to deal with us.
They're domesticated.
All right.
Can you define domesticated in this instance for me, please?
Well, tamed, so that we can approach it, slaughter it, use its byproducts, meat, milk.
Okay, that's good.
Hooves.
Okay.
I don't think we use
it. Yeah,
an
ostrich?
Yeah, we...
Is that an ostrich?
I don't know. I think I know the answer now, though.
Yeah, I
Caveman
know.
Hazard trying to domesticate an ostrich.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hazard, according to historians, what is the first animal to have been domesticated? You say cats. Chuck says what?
Well, I'm debating between two.
All right. So let's hear your thought process live on the radio. Let's go.
Well, I'm going to go back to... some of the earliest writings of time in the Bible, and the shepherds watched their flocks.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, what kind of
and
a flock?
And their flocks were of sheep, I do believe, and cattle. But you more typically hear cattle being a herd and flocks being of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And since my brother from another mother in Wales, Hubert, is a sheep farmer... I'm going to go with sheep.
Sheep. Anybody want to change their answer?
No.
Okay, because you're both wrong.
It's cows.
Yeah.
Goats.
I was close.
Goats were the first animal to be domesticated. Goats are typically the cleanest of animals, so they would be welcome at the Hazard household. They are much more select feeders than cows, chickens, or even dogs. They typically will not eat food that has been contaminated or that has been on the floor or ground. Now, archaeological data suggests two distinct places of domestication. The Euphrates River Valley in Nevalikori, Turkey, about 11,000 years ago, and the Zargos Mountains of Iran at Ganj Dera, which is Treasure Valley. That translates to Treasure Valley. Beginning between 10,000 and 11,000 years ago, Neolithic farmers in the Near East started keeping small herds of ibexes for their milk and meat and for their dung, because they used the dung for fuel, as well as for materials for clothing and building, hair, bone, skin, and sinew. And that's tendon or ligament, you know, musical instruments, binding things. Today, over 300 breeds of goats exist on our planet.
Wow.
Yeah. Living on every continent except Antarctica. And in quite a few astonishing range of environments, from humid tropical rainforests to dry, hot desert regions and cold, high altitude regions. So there you go. Goats are the first animal to have been domesticated.
So I wonder, can I go down to Petco and buy one?
I wish we could, couldn't
Hazard,
we?
Do you want to go down and get you a goat?
Bah, bah.
Give me a kick.
Go on Craigslist, dude.
Bah.
I'm sure I could.
All right, Dan, the final question here.
I tried to find my last date on Craigslist also.
You try to find all your dates on Craigslist. Who are you kidding?
Maybe I ought to talk to a goat.
Man, there you go.
Maybe you ought to get a goat. You can get a woman then. Find a farm girl.
That would be interesting. Hazard, final question. Here we go. What does a major Canadian city in Manitoba have in common with Winnie the Pooh? Blank look. Blank stares.
No, I got an answer. just trying to
suck what
you
does
up.
A major Canadian city in Manitoba have in common with Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. Cuddly little tummy all stuffed with fluff. That's Winnie the Pooh.
The inhabitants of the city love honey.
Well, I'm sure they do.
Just like Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh and a major Canadian city in Manitoba have something in common.
I'm going to say, nickname is called Winnings, so it's going to be Winnipegs.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, from Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Ooh, that's good, Hazard.
All right. Chuck, what say you? What does a major Canadian city in Manitoba have in common with Winnie the Pooh?
I was going to say honey initially.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's got me sidetracked here with this Winnie thing.
So he says that Winnipeg...
are known as... people from Winnipeg are known as Winnies?
I have no idea.
I'm going with honey.
You're
going
to go with honey?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone want to change their answer?
No.
Hazard, tell them the answer.
It's because they have Blue Cross Blue Shield.
No.
They're called Winnies.
No.
What?
Winnie the Pooh's name is Winnipeg.
Really? His real name is Winnipeg?
Yes.
Hazard didn't get that right. No. Hazard did not get that right.
He said Winnipeg.
Well, yeah, but I assume
he didn't
that...
say Winnie the Pooh's real name
like
is Winnipeg.
I meant like inhabitants of Winnipeg are called Winnies.
Yeah, he was going backwards. No,
I misinterpreted. You get nothing.
Yeah.
A black bear cub from Canada named Winnipeg, or Winnie for short, was one of the most popular attractions at the London Zoo after it was donated to the zoo in 1915. Winnie became a favorite of Christopher Robin Milne and inspired the stories written by his father, A.A. Milne, about Winnie the Pooh. Now, Christopher had named his toy bear after Winnie, the Canadian black bear he often saw at the London Zoo. And Pooh was a swan that they had met while on holiday. So the bear cub was purchased from a hunter for $20 by Canadian Lieutenant Harry Colburn in White River, Ontario, Canada. Now, while en route to England, he purchased it in White River, Ontario, Canada, while en route to England during the First World War. He named the bear Winnie after his adopted hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba. Winnie was surreptitiously brought to England with her owner and gained unofficial recognition as the Fort Garcia Horse Regimental mascot. Colburn left Winnie at the London Zoo while he and his unit were in France. After the war, she was officially donated to the zoo, and she had become a much-loved attraction. Pooh the Swan appears as a character in its own right in When We Were Very Young. In the first chapter of Winnie the Pooh, Milne offers his explanation why Winnie the Pooh is often simply called Pooh. And it says here, quote, "But his arms were so stiff, they stayed up straight in the air for more than a week, and whenever a fly came and settled on his nose, he had to blow it off. And I think, but I am not sure, that is why he is always called Pooh." So it's Winnie the Pooh.
Hmm.
And that's, there you go. So, Hazard didn't do so well.
No, I won.
You got one?
Oh, I got one, right, I won.
Congratulations, Chuck.
Thank you. I am
the victor.
That
was interesting.
Hope it was. It was potpourri. Yeah.
All right. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard just played Hazard a Guess. All of our reindeer games were played tonight. Mm-hmm. I went down swinging on big words with Ron. How embarrassing. And I missed the F word.
You did.
I miss that F word.
Flux or something.
By the way, an F-bomb flew on Saturday Night Live. Did you read about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. One of the sketches, the guest host, I don't know who it was, but he dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, geez.
All in its glory.
Nice.
So, got to watch it, people. Got to watch it, especially live television.
Mm-hmm.
All right, music time.
Yeah, Ron, you know, I mentioned last week about that one show that I went to see while we were on hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered today as I was dressing and putting on my Artificial Agent shirt.
I almost wore mine today.
That Hazard and I went to see Artificial Agent over the summer as well. They have a new album out called Program to Destroy. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of it on CD, but I do have one of their previous albums, which is entitled Love Don't Strangle Me, right here in my hot little hands.
All right.
This is a title cut on Motor City Static.
Love Won't Strangle Me. Artificial Agent on Motor City Static. Man, love that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, indeed.
I guess Carl is in that Trick tribute band. They're playing up at Diesel.
Stiff competition.
Yeah.
They're playing at the Cadgy Cafe as well.
Oh, is that where I saw it too?
Well, it's two. They got two shows coming up.
So I'm not crazy.
No, actually, Carl is in that band, and their guitar player is in that band.
Okay. Maybe I'll go up and see him. I don't know. It depends. It's a Friday. I can't do that.
Yeah, Friday. This Friday, actually, I think.
I can't do it. I got to work. Unfortunately. Right. Working afternoons, you know, that does that to you.
Yeah.
So Saturday nights are...
better for you.
Better. So, Carl, guys, schedule Saturdays.
I think the Diesel show might be a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Carl's got some new drums.
Yeah, he keeps bragging about them all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, we had fun tonight.
We did indeed.
We always have fun. The show is over. Under the old schedule, we'd have an extra hour, but you know what? I like it, the two-hour thing.
It was a good idea your producer had, wasn't it?
Yeah, hit it and quit it.
Yeah. Should pay that guy more money.
Yeah. One of the things that I've promised myself this new year is to take it easy and do more reading. So I've been reading a lot of books.
You always read a lot of books.
Well, not normally, but...
you should keep a list of them.
I should, shouldn't I?
Write down... Remember how I used to put on Facebook all the bands I went and saw in a given year?
Yeah, 52 bands in 52 weeks.
Yeah, you should write down all the books you read in a given year.
You want me to do that?
Put it out on Facebook for the people. Yeah.
All right, I'll do that.
Or at least for me.
And I'm reading on various subjects, everything from How It Goes, Sell, to Andy Rooney. You know what bothers me?
What?
Andy Rooney, that's my impression. Oh. Right? And, you know, because he always would start his essays with... things like that. And then reading other things about, like religion. Starting to read historical
documents. You should read about Bichon Frise.
I should, shouldn't I?
Maybe you should get one.
Hey, what's that new, that movie, is it called The Post?
Yeah.
With Tom Hanks
about
and,
the Pentagon Papers.
What is that, like about the Washington Post or something?
Yeah, the Pentagon Papers.
Oh, okay.
Remember that whole thing where they wanted to publish the papers?
Okay.
And Nixon didn't want them published because those were really papers that were during the LBJ and Kennedy administration. But the Post thought that they got the goods on Nixon.
What's he trying to hide?
Yeah.
It turned out to be something completely different.
Hmm.
So, you know, the movies,
it's got Tom Hanks and
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah. They both knew about Harvey Weinstein.
Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep?
Yeah, they knew.
Yeah. Well, Oprah certainly knew.
Everybody knew, which is, how come they didn't blow the whistle earlier?
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
And they're all going to hell.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
Did you see a thing about Bill Cosby?
No.
Well, he had a trial that got thrown out or something, or it was a mistrial. Right. So he's got to go back. I guess they're going to recharge him. And he's pleading that he may not, with the, what do they call it, Me Too crowd? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That, yeah, he was appealing to those.
Well, you know, and some people like Liam Neeson are saying this is all a big old witch hunt, which it is. Let he among us cast the first stone who has had no sin.
Yep.
And they're all, you know, that's why I'm never going out to Hollywood. I don't want to be an actor.
No.
I'm not part of that crowd.
You get your fame in Mount Clemens.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah.
At the Emerald Theater on stage.
Yeah.
A one night or one man show, one night only.
Ron Whittable. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
All right, it's time to say
Ron,
goodbye.
Don't call me White Balls.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Perfect.
Thank you. Motor City Static, going to wrap it up for this the 14th day of January 2018.
We got to work on that. I want to work on that.
Your one man show?
Your one man show.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
If you get material the way you get stuff for Big Words with Ron, we'll be fluck, whatever that word was, fluctionation.
Don't say that too fast on the radio, or else we'll have to turn in the license.
It was a word. I put it on Facebook, and it didn't even give me a little red line underneath it. So Facebook recognizes that as a word.
Oh, my gosh. All right, on behalf of Chuck and Hazard, have a safe and pleasant week, and we'll see you here next Sunday with Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network.